Flip through the crime fiction at a bookstore or library, and you're likely to spot a tendency among the novelists. Several of them began their careers as reporters. Think Michael Connelly, Laura Lippman, and John Kemp. Kemp won a Pulitzer Prize with the St. Paul Pioneer Press back in 1986. These days, he's better known by his pen name, John Sandford, the author of a best-selling crime series featuring tough guy cop Lucas Davenport. In today's encore of our series, Crime in the City, we're in the Twin Cities. That's where NPR's Lynn Neary spent time with John Sandford a few years ago.
John Sandford is a genial man, tall and lanky. He's the kind of person who seems at ease in the world. And for many years, his world has been centered mostly in Minnesota's Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul. It's a city with two distinct downtowns, and that, says Sandford, gives Lucas Davenport a pretty good playing field for chasing bad guys.
The downtown areas and the neighborhoods that are between them are actually quite compact. So we're going through a very nice neighborhood right now, but we're about three or four blocks from where Davenport gets in a lot of trouble. As a matter of fact, I'll take a left up here and I'll just take you through it.
But even this neighborhood in St. Paul doesn't look too threatening. It has an old-fashioned American look, like an Edward Hopper painting. Sandford populates these streets with some pretty tough thugs, like the red-haired paraplegic pimp Randy Whitcomb in his latest book, Wicked Prey. And Sandford unleashes a lot of mayhem in these streets. Still, when Davenport's work is over and he's captured his prey, often in a blaze of gunfire, he retires to the arms of his wife, Weather, and their children in a posh neighborhood overlooking the Mississippi River.
And you can see what it looks like here. It's all nice and leafy and green, and it's got a quiet street that runs along the river, and the houses are very nice. And
it's not really the kind of place that you would imagine a kind of tough guy cop to live, I don't think.
No, but he has this domestic element in him. And not only does he have a domestic element in him, he's quite aware of fashion. When you're building a character, or at least when I'm building a character, you start saying, how am I going to make people like him? Well, one of Davenport's idiosyncrasies is that he's a clothes horse. He likes to dress up, and he's sort of the same way in the neighborhood. He likes to live in a place that is very comfortable and feels good to him.
Like the man who created him, Lucas Davenport is comfortable in his own skin. He is not, says Sandford, a noir kind of guy.
A lot of cops in fiction are very depressive and are kind of downbeat, and they've got all kinds of existential angst that they're dealing with. Davenport doesn't do that. He likes the job. He likes to hunt people. He likes confrontations. He will get tough with people even when they really don't deserve it in a lot of ways because he likes that kind of thing. And this is actually based on cops that I've known.
Sandford learned a lot about cops when he worked as a reporter at the Pioneer Press. He spent time hanging out with them and listening to how they talk, like this kind of banter, between Tina Kill and Lane Lodmel, officers at the St. Paul Police Department's crime lab.
Can I turn this
no.
axe pick type
sure.
instrument for non-existent fingerprints?
Yes, ma'am. What's today, the 29th?
Oh, no, I mean, if anybody can get fingerprints, Lane, you can.
Oh, right.
Sanford's well known to many of the cops at the St. Paul Police Department. One of his longtime friends is Police Chief John Harrington.
You're looking well. How are you?
How's it going?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Sanford met Harrington at a karate class. They've been friends since the days when the future chief worked undercover on the city's buses. Sandford says he doesn't ask Harrington for advice about his books, but over the years he's learned a lot just by watching him. And Harrington says Sandford gets the details of police work right.
Yeah, he gets them better than anybody else I've ever read. So
yeah, the thing is that there really is a Hollywood aspect to it, because you can't do the bureaucratic part of the police work. Because it slows the story down.
Like, well, Lucas never writes in reports. So, I mean, so that's, you know, I get that. And there's never, you know, not much evidence turned in. So we recognize that it's a fictionalized version of what we do. But it's not what Lucas does. It's the tone. It's the communication of how cops talk to each other, how cops think about each other, and how we think about the world that he gets just right on.
Sandford looks for those telling details wherever he may be, whether it's prowling the city's streets or on a hunting trip with his buddies.
Hey, Logan.
How you doing, man?
Chuck Logan is a writer who is also one of Sanford's deer hunting pals. He lives in a small bedroom community not far from the Twin Cities. Sandford and Logan like to talk about writing, even when they're hunting. Logan remembers one time when Sanford gave him some advice that helped get his career going.
I mean, some miserable November, I was sitting in a deer stand looking at a dozen rejection notices, you know, and at some point I talked to John. He says, well, back off this ponderous literary stuff, you know, and write a thriller.
And like everything else in Sanford's life, hunting is another source of material for his writing. He remembers one time when Logan shot a deer and the two of them followed the wounded animal's trail of blood.
I mean, all of a sudden you've got this whole thing that you know about tracking a blood wound through the woods, and that just showed up in a novel I wrote a couple of years ago about my other character, Virgil Flowers, when they're actually tracking a blood trail from a guy who gets shot through in the woods. And so I've got a reference back to what it really looks like.
Back in the car, Sanford talks about his approach to writing. It's easy, he says, for a writer to get isolated. That's why it's important to him that he stay connected with the people and the places he cares about.
Most people who are trying to write kind of sit in their basements and they kind of pull it out of their imagination. It would be so much better if they just go and look. It doesn't even have to be in the same neighborhood you're talking about. It just has to be credible for that neighborhood. But just go outside and look at something and then write down and you'll find out that it's a very nice piece of writing.
Fiction, this one-time journalist firmly believes, works best when it's grounded in reality. Perhaps that's why the roots he planted in the Twin Cities more than 30 years ago remain so strong. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
Our series continues Monday with author Robert Crace. Like all of our crime writers, he has an especially strong attachment to his city, which happens to be Los Angeles.
There's the Hollywood sign. There's Griffith Observatory. There's the great, amazing Los Angeles Basin. It's 465 square miles of insanity and the best food on the planet. So why leave?
Robert Crace and the city that launched his beloved hero, Elvis Cole, next time on Crime in the City. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Greene.